good evening and God bless everyone. Thank you so much for staying on hope with me.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I give honor to our Lord, our God, our Savior, our King, our Redeemer, our Revealer, our pride and joy, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great and almighty Jehovah Jireh, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God for his goodness, his grace, and his mercy. And I thank God for each and every person under the sound of my voice. I thank God for the honorable Elder Felicia Dotson, who's going to help me tonight. Elder Shanterica Robinson going to help me with prayer tonight. And I thank God Apostle Crystal Lee, who's going to be ministering a word from the Lord. Get ready, get ready, get ready, because I believe that God is getting ready to do something special for you, or you wouldn't be here right now. God bless you. We'll see you in just a moment. going to have a scripture reading after we have prayer by Elder Shanterica Robinson. I don't know if she's actually available to us yet, but we're Pastor Robinson. God bless you. How you doing, woman of God?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, good, good. How was your day?
Very good.
did Tristan do well at his his program?
He did. Awesome.
Awesome, awesome. Woman of God, would you pray for us? Intercede, especially for the prisons that are on the line. We have 6 prisons on the line now, and we want to intercede on behalf of those who are incarcerated and those who are dealing with drug addiction, and they're coming out of that. And we have several of those programs on the line with us, including several local jails around the state. And we're working very hard to deal with very difficult people to get us into these prisons. So we want to pray that the walls come down for them. And we want to also pray for our brothers and sisters in churches across the country and the body of Christ. God bless you. Go ahead and pray, woman of God.
Hallelujah. Father, we bless your name right now, Lord God. Father, we bless your name for who you are, Lord God. Father, we come before you because we know that there is nothing too hard for you, Lord God. We know that you are a mighty God. We know that you are a big God. Lord, now we bless you on tonight, Lord God, for our chief. We bless you on tonight for Apostle Lee. We bless you on tonight, Lord God, for every single ministry gift that is on the line, Lord God. Every single person, Lord God, that is incarcerated. Every single person, Lord God, that is suffering from an addiction, Lord God. We come against it right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Father God, we know that you are mighty. We know that you can do the miraculous. God, let them know, Lord God. Lord God, that they are not by themselves, but let them know, Lord God, that we stand in agreement with them right now, Lord God. Nothing's hard for you. Lord God, we come against the mind games. Lord God, we come against whatever it is, Lord God, that is bothering them, that is stealing, Lord God. God, is with them in an unholy way. God, we come against it right now, Lord God. God, and we decree and we declare that the walls are coming down. We decree that it is nothing too hard for you, Lord God.
Yes,
Lord God, give comfort. Let them know that somebody loves them. Let them know, Lord God, that it is not the end of the road, Lord God. The greater is ahead, Lord God. Oh, we bless you for every single soul. We bless you for every single believer, Lord God. We thank you for our highs. We thank you for our lows. And we thank you for our greater that is coming, Lord God. Now, we bless your name on tonight for this broadcast, Lord God. And we ask that you would get all of the glory on tonight, Lord God. Move in an unprecedented way, Lord God. Speak like never before. Lord, we don't want to leave the same way that we got on, Lord God. But let us all leave refreshed, Lord God. Let us all leave, Lord God, with something greater, Lord God. Bless your name for every single individual, Lord God, in the prison system, Lord God, around the world, Lord God. Every faithful ambassador, God.
Thank you, Lord. Give you the glory and the praise for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Our scripture reading for tonight will be Psalm 37. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. The word of the Lord is already blessed. May the people of God hear and do the word of the Lord.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Pastor Robinson. Thank you so much, Elder Dodson. We are honored tonight that you all would even take the time out. You know, I really appreciate the things of God and the people of God that would even come to our broadcast, streaming in 9 different streams, streaming in some 7 different countries, streaming in to pastors and ministers and to believers everywhere. I give honor to God. I welcome you to the Faith Ambassadors. I welcome you to the Staying on Purpose radio broadcast, internet radio broadcast. And I welcome each and every person that's on this line. You are somebody. You are not forgotten. And there is nothing, absolutely nothing, too hard for God. You are in a blessed and a favored way because God has opened up the door for you to be on this broadcast tonight. I know that you won't leave here like you came. So let's get ready. Let's get ready. Let's get ready. Invite somebody. You got to have about 1 minute, and we're going to come back on briefly. But you're going to have about 1 minute to go out and tell somebody to get on this line, because the prophet and the people of God, the prophetess, are on this line. So go ahead and let your people know that we are here. Amen. Beginning on this week, I want to give you some announcements. I want to give you some announcements while we're waiting for you to do your invitations. First of all, we on Tuesday night, there will be the Women of War and Worship right here on Blog Talk Radio. On Wednesday night, the Youth Resurgence Group. Listen, if you want to come in contact with the anointing, the Bible says in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And he said, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. I'm telling you that Faith Ambassadors has some young people that have no problem prophesying a word from the Lord. So we thank God for the Resurgence Group. They will be ministering under Pastor Robinson on Wednesday night. On Thursday night, you'll be back here with me with the School of the Prophet. And we are excited about the School of the Prophet. This year, what we're doing is we're going to extend it out briefly. And I guess we're going to, I don't know. I guess maybe we'll be making this a standard thing. I don't know. While I can do it, and while, you know, my schedule allows me to do it, we'll do the School of the Prophet continuously until the Holy Ghost is finished with us. We're thankful for last week. If you missed the School of the Prophet last week, if you missed any of our broadcasts, Women of Worship, War and Worship, if you missed our young people, I'm telling you, the woman of God preached a message. You do not want to miss it. And you can always go back to www.blogtalkradio.com. You can type in Faith Ambassadors or Staying on Purpose, and then you can find that broadcast, and you can listen to and download any of our previous broadcasts. So you are more than welcome to that. And we are able to be reached at Prophet Daniel Online. I almost forgot my name. Prophet Daniel Online prophetdanielonline.com, prophetdanielonline.com. You can reach me directly if there is any issues that you can't get resolved in that website. You can reach me directly at prophetdaniel611@gmail.com. If you want to sow to this ministry, if you want to tithe this ministry, if you want to give to this ministry, you can contact us. We'll send you out a link. And I'm telling you right now, you will not be messed up. You will be blessed and highly favored. I feel the chains falling right now. I feel like there's a word from the Lord. I feel like God is going to do something major and mighty and powerful. I just want to go ahead and take this opportunity and introduce to some and present to others the honorable apostle and pastor of a woman, a pastor's pastor, a woman's woman. She is a woman of honor and virtue, and I have not seen anything less of her than honor. So I thank God for her. I thank God for her ministry. I thank God for her life. I thank God for what he's doing in her life in this season. She is the first presiding apostle of the Faith Ambassadors Ministry. She is also a keynote speaker in multiple ministries, and we thank God for her. She is a pleasure to be around. She's fun to be around. We thank God for a woman who knows the Word of God, who loves people, who loves the people of God, and who walks in standards and of honor and virtue. So we thank God for her. We thank God for what he's doing in her life. So without any further ado, we're going to hear a little bit of this short song, and then we're going to hear the next words we'll hear. Come on, Perk Tide tonight. The next words we'll hear is none other than the Apostle Crystal Lee of the Faith Ambassadors Ministry right here in South Carolina. God bless you.
One word away, the power of life in heaven.
Apostle, we can't hear you.
Well, praise the Lord. I guess you,
like
you can't never hear nobody that's on mute. Praise the Lord.
I know.
Hallelujah.
What's going on?
What a mighty God we serve. God bless you, people of God. I'm so thankful to be here tonight. Can you hear me now?
We can hear you, woman of God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We give honor to our chief apostle tonight. I was having a full-fledged conversation, people of God. I make myself laugh sometimes. I sure put that on mute and forgot that I put it on mute, but we thank God for unmute. Thank you, Jesus. There are some things. That's a word right there. There's some things that we need to mute in life, okay? So that's just all that it is. There's some things we need to mute in life and some things that we're going to need to unmute in this season, and God's going to deal with us tonight. I thank God for the chief apostle tonight. We all thank God for you tonight, chief, and for the blessing that you are to us all across the country. We thank God for all of our sisters and brothers in incarceration, for all of the men and women of God on the line from all over the world, pastors, preachers, teachers, prophets, apostles, bishops, even in incarceration, our brothers and sisters that have been called to the fivefold ministry that are right there incarcerated. Those of you who are even in rehab centers, God has got a call on your life as well. You are not excluded tonight. The Bible declares that when Jesus ascended, he gave gifts to men, and those gifts were part of that fivefold ministry, and you are not excluded because of your location tonight. We want you to understand that whatever God has called you to, we want you to definitely do so. We thank God for your presence here in the room every week, and may the things that we speak and that we teach be things that you would share even where you are with the people that are in your environment, that you would begin to share the word of God no matter where you are. And I thank God tonight. I always thank God for the opportunity, the ability and the agility to even share a word of the Lord with his people. Such a great people you are all over the world, such a great people. And I just want to share some of the things that are on my heart tonight. I kind of had a set format, but I'm kind of feeling the leading of the Lord to go in some other direction. So whatever direction he would lead us tonight, we're going to just do that. We're going to have a word of prayer, a quick word of prayer before we go any further. Father, we thank you tonight that you would speak to us tonight out of the midst of your fire, O God. We give you glory tonight, and we declare that the God that answers by fire, the one who lives big in his people, God, you're the one who does great and mighty signs and wonders in the midst of those who don't even believe. I declare the power of his spirit is sweeping through the room tonight, sweeping through these broadcast lines tonight to burn up everything in this place that's not like you, oh God. Destruction to everything that's set up, that's been erected to oppose you in this hour, oh God. Everything that's set up to oppose your will, your way, God, we oppose that tonight. And may that which can withstand the fire tonight be refined in the name and the authority of Jesus Christ. We give you glory, honor, and praise. I thank God tonight for the word of God. It's such a mighty weapon. And I want you to understand tonight, I was encouraging the ministers that beyond just your time of study, the Bible does declare for us to study to show ourselves approved. But before you can study a thing, you're going to need to first read it. It's a basic principle that happens even when we go to school. It's so funny to me that we learn these things growing up, and then for some reason, because we're in church, it seems like those things, those tenets or those principles change. They really haven't changed. Anytime you're in school to learn a thing, they first make you read the book. They make you read the chapters. They make you read the assignment, and then you have to go back, and then you begin to dissect and to study and to learn definitions and to learn words and to start expanding your understanding of that text. And so tonight I want to encourage you tonight, no matter where you are, that you begin to pick up the word of God and go from the beginning to the end. It's nothing like trying to understand a story and you haven't gone from the beginning to the end of the book. You're reading the forward or you're reading the back of the book that's trying to give you a summary and trying to take a test off of the summary. Sometimes that summary would be some of the things that you've heard other people say. And one of the things we are vehemently against in this ministry is religion. Religion is that thing that positions you to read the summary. They want you to take everything that they're saying and make that applicable to your life when you haven't been made to take the time to read it for yourself. I believe above all things that you need to read the letter that was left to you, read the book, read the information that was left so that you would have an idea
of who God is, what he's about, who Jesus is, what he's about, and what the Holy, who the Holy Spirit is, and who he is in your life. It's so important that we get an understanding in all of our getting and getting information and getting knowledge and getting all of that. We definitely need an understanding. So I'm encouraging you tonight to make that a part of what you do. Even there in the prison, if you guys would just do me a favor, you're here every week, just go ahead and create a group. When you get off the line, just go ahead and create your groups and your facets and begin to read the Word of God from the book of Genesis on. Just take the time to dissect that and say, you know what, today we're going to read the first five chapters or the first seven chapters of Genesis and read it together and watch what God will begin to do. I believe that when the Word of God is read, God begins to declare his word and he begins to let signs and wonders follow his word. There's something about his word that once it's read, once it's spoken into an environment, it begins to cause things to shift. It begins to cause things to change. It was God that stood in the expanse where nothing was going on but chaos, and he began to declare in that place where nothing was going on but chaos, let there be. His words created a thing. I was telling the people of God last week that I was really excited, and every time I think about it, just, you know, I have flashbacks. I have mental flashbacks about the goodness of God in my life. I need you to take that, pick that up in your life and just have flashbacks of the goodness of God. And I promise you, if you ever have flashbacks of how good God has been to you, it will cause you to desire to have open affection moments for God in public. I say that all the time. I'm feeling a moment of public display of the open affection that I'm having for God in this moment. And I promise you, you have to pull over sometimes and I have to get out of the car and just cut a real step for real in real life or just do something different. Because when you just start thinking about how good he's been and the fact that he holds everything together, wherever you are right now, it's God that's holding you together. It's God that's holding your mind together by the power of his word, by the word of his power. Everything concerning your life is being held together. His word is the glue that holds it all together. So I'm encouraging you tonight to read the word of God so that you have the glue that you need in those situations where God can begin to speak directly to you about the word that you've already read. That's the difference between logos and rhema. You know, logos is the word that's written, but rhema is the word that God would speak concerning the thing that you read that makes that thing alive. I give this example to the ministers all the time, and I'm going to share it with you tonight because it's going to definitely help you to understand the difference between logos, the written word of God, and rhema, the spoken word of God concerning the word that is already written. Logos would be like the rice grains before you cook them. You know, that's that just raw rice that's in your hand or in that cup that you gathered up to pour in the pot of water. The Holy Ghost is going to be that catalyst that cooks the rice. But that finished product is something that you can eat. It's something that makes it workable. It's something that makes it tangibly available for your consumption in that moment. And so this is what you need to understand, that the rhema of God is what he wants you to get to. A lot of people that know how to quote scriptures, a lot of people that know how to quote a bunch of verses, and I know I have pastors from all over the country, all over the world on this line. But I'm not really moved by preachers that can quote a bunch of verses, because I know preachers right now that have very good memory of where verses are, but their life is like hot garbage. You know, their lifestyle is hot garbage. Thy word have I hid in my heart, David said, that I might not sin against you, God. It's not the word that you can memorize that's going to keep you from sinning against God. It's the word that you hide in your heart that's going to protect you from being in a position where you have caused yourself to be an offense to God. It's the word that you hide in your heart, the word that matters in your heart towards God, that keeps you in a place of reverencing him and honoring him and thinking of him before you do the ridiculous. That's the word that's in your heart, not the word that you can recant, that you can regurgitate, that you can resuscitate or remember that somebody else said. It's the word that you hide in your heart. Tonight, I want to talk just a little bit, and I probably will call some folks in to do some other communicating with me tonight, but I really, what was on my mind tonight with some discussions about the mind. It's a really serious matter. We are in a season where the mind matters. It really does. I mean, there have been seasons where we have been allowed to be mindless, but God desires us to be mindful in this season. We've got to have some things on our mind. We've got to have the right things on our minds. Romans chapter 12, I was reading this just before the broadcast, and as I was reading it, something that's very familiar to me. I love how the Word of God operates. When you read it, God is always revealing something fresh, something new about himself to us, and I'm just so excited about the Word of God because you never get bored with the Word because it's always something new. It's always a new layer, a new level of something that he's taking you to concerning his Word. That's just the intimacy, and that's just the passion of the relationship. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, and we're going to be all over the place tonight, so just get ready for that. Romans chapter 12, he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And verse 2 is one of the most familiar passages. We know it, and it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As I was reading this tonight, I know usually when we think about being conformed to the world, we're thinking about very specific things like mimicking what the world does and that kind of thing. But I saw this thing today in a different light, and probably based on some most recent circumstances that I encountered. And when I read this, be not conformed to this world, I was remembering a prayer that I was praying today as I was talking to the Lord about some situations. And I was praying that the Lord would allow me to love past offenses, that the Lord would allow me to be in a position where I would not be so concerned about my point being proven, where I would be in a position where I would get the mind of Christ on the matter, where Jesus was in a position where he was like, you know what, I don't really have a bunch to prove to anybody. I am who I am, and my works speak for me. And as I was reading that tonight, that not being conformed became for me not being put in a position where whatever was going on in my environment I would conform to, but that I would allow myself to be renewed, to be made new in my mind concerning even that current situation. Not just necessarily are we watching things and conforming to that, but even in your current situation, there can be an opportunity for you to conform to the world, to your environment, to whatever is going on, because and in conformity, sometimes that causes you to behave a certain way, you know, or to act out a certain way. I had some certain feelings today based on some positions I was put in, and I had to really pull myself back together and say, you know what, I'm going to allow myself to be transformed. I'm going to transform myself in my mind by the Word of God, because if I transform, renewed in my mind, and to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, I'm going to prove the good thing, the acceptable thing, and the thing that is the perfect will of God. And that's what's important. God is very particular about your mind. It's one of the things that the enemy has been after since the very beginning. It's the thing that the enemy desires to contaminate. It's the thing that the enemy desires to get a hold of. You know, we hear all of these different lines that people tell us from a child, that the mind is the devil's, an idle mind is the devil's workshop, and all of these different things that we hear. But what you need to understand and what you need to not be ignorant of is that everything that we do comes out of where we are in our mind. You know, the Bible declares, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, with that word heart, there is not talking about the thing that's beating in your chest. It's talking about the core of who you are, the core of your being. Out of the abundance of the core of who you are, which happens in your mind, your mouth is going to speak. What your mind is full of is going to come out of your mouth. And so the mind is the most sought after weapon. And it's like an arms dealer needing the most powerful weapon that could be available to him against his enemy. Your mind is that weapon. And so this is why it's really important that we understand that even when it comes to having power, love, and a sound mind, because that's what God has given us. He has not given us the spirit of fear. But even in that passage, it talks about him giving us power, love, and a sound mind. You know, you can have power, but power that's not harnessed can be a dangerous thing. You know, power that's not activated by love can be a dangerous thing. You're going to need a sound mind to activate love and to activate power in your life in any way, shape, or form, because it can be a dangerous thing if your mind is not where it needs to be. If your mind is not renewed and not in the position that it needs to be in, you can really be in a dangerous position. You can be really vulnerable to things that are happening in your environment. And I know I mentioned this before, and I'll mention again, I have my youngest son who was caught up with some really ignorant stuff and wound up in jail. And he's getting out shortly, but at the end of the day, he understood that it was where his mind was concerning the situation that put him in the place that he's in. It's not that he's a bad kid. It's not that he's a bad guy. He just connected himself in a crowd that he allowed himself to conform to, and his mind was fixed on whatever was going on in that environment, and he thought it was for the betterment. He thought it was for the good. Just for a minute, since I'm talking about that, I'm always talking about the good thing versus the God thing, and all of that happens in your mind, because a lot of people are doing a bunch of good things, but you have to understand, are you doing the God thing? And that happens because you're having a communication with God that positions you to understand what his will is, what his direction is for your life in every situation. We've got to be renewed in our mind so that we can be transformed into the image that God desires for us to be. But that happens in communication with him. I can look at several different passages in the scripture that talk about transformation, that talks about being transformed. Jesus is a perfect example. He takes several of his disciples to the Mount of Transfiguration, and it is when he prays, when he is in communication with his Father, that his whole visage changed and even his clothes changed to the point that his disciples that were in his environment at that time noticed the transformation. They noticed the difference. But transformation only happens based on where your mind is. And we see here clearly on several occasions, even in the scripture, that Jesus had a direct connection with the Father, and that was what kept his mind renewed. That's what kept him transformed and kept him from conforming to whatever was going on in the environment. It's what kept him from conforming to the issue of the face that he was facing, death of a cross. You know, when he was in that garden and he was talking to his Father, he said, listen, if we can do this another way, he was negotiating with his Father. And I tell people all the time, that negotiation was not just about, I don't want to die. That negotiation was what it was going to mean if I die, what it's going to mean for me to be able to do this. He had to go through a process where he had to be disconnected from his Father. In order to die for your sins, he had to be disconnected from his Father. That's something he had never been, and something he had never wanted or desired to be. And it should be the thing that's in your mind constantly, based on the sacrifice that was made, based on what you were created to be, who you were created to be, and the image and the likeness you were created in. That should be something that's in the forefront of your mind. I don't ever want to be separated from God, ever want to be separated from God. I can remember David saying, listen, whatever you need to do with me, Lord, do that. But whatever you do, don't take your spirit away from me. I need to be connected. This connection is the lifeblood. It's how I live. It's how I move. It's how I exist. It's how I have my being. Just for a couple minutes, I want to talk about just a couple more things. I know that it's really important that we are in agreement with who God says we are. And again, that's all a mindset. That's all a mind thing, because the enemy is definitely after our mind so that he can control our movement. If he can control our movement, then he can definitely make sure that we stay in a place of separation from God. But when I was looking at some things in the last couple of weeks, Gideon was on my mind, and that's in Judges chapter 6. If you don't mind, if you've got your Bible, I want you to go there really quickly. Go there. Because what we need to discuss here, too, is the fact of who's been allowed to talk to you, who you allow to talk to you, who you allow in your ear, who you allow in your circle, all of that. And I know it's a lot of really people on the line that really think they're tough. I want to say something to that, though, because you can think you're tough in your own strength, but what you don't understand is that this devil that you're dealing with, this adversary that you're dealing with, he's been around for thousands of years to just however many years it's been that you've been around. You've not even been around a whole century yet, and you're dealing up against something that's a lot bigger than you. If you're trying to do it in your own strength, you're not going to win. But if you contend in this battle from the proper place, if you contend in this battle in God and in Christ, then you're going to win. You've already won. You are just now going through motions. It's just a wrestling match at this point, just to make sure that the devil stays in his place, because he's going to do whatever he can do to obtain access, to gain territory in your mind so that he can have control. The person that owns the land has control, and the land that I'm talking about tonight is the land of your mind. So we need to be conscious about who's being allowed to talk to us. We can be very lackadaisical when it comes to that, because we think because we've been doing things a certain way for so long and we've dealt with things in a certain way for so long that that's just the way that it's supposed to be. But when we ascertain the matter and we realize that the battle for the mind, it begins with a conversation. It begins with a conversation. Anytime any relationship begins, it begins first with conversation. There is absolutely no relationship, no connection that's going to happen in life that doesn't begin with a conversation. It all starts with a conversation. And what does conversation deal with? It deals with your mind. It deals with how a thing affects how you think, how you feel, all of that. It begins with your mind. What you're thinking in your mind is how you're going to allow your emotions to respond, and how you're going to allow your actions to proceed is based on whatever is going on in your mind. So I want you to understand tonight why you're thinking that you're the tough guy or the tough gal, that you can do it on your own, that there is an adversary who desires to sift you. There's an adversary who is roaming and seeking prey. We are going to Judges chapter 6. This adversary is that one who is seeking the one that is weak. He's seeking something that's feeble and not in a position to defend itself. But I want you to understand that anytime God leads us into a battle, he's not leading us into a battle that we've lost. He's leading us into a place that we've already won. So he's already given us the instruction in order for us to gain the mastery, to maintain the mastery in that situation. So if you're in situations today where you're feeling like you're losing, if you're in a situation that you are feeling like you're losing instead of in a perpetual position of victory, then you are weak and you are prey to the enemy in this season. If you're not overcoming your sin nature and your 20-year-old appetites, you're weak and you are the prey of the enemy. I know we don't do a lot of talking about that in church, because people are okay with allowing people to come in. We want you to come as you are, but you're not supposed to stay like you are. That's not the purpose of you coming into an environment. And churches that allow people to come into an environment and you're just perpetually that way, as a matter of fact, you're waxing grosser and waxing worse as you sit there, and that's a problem. There's something wrong with that. You know, the multitudes followed Jesus. They weren't all together lovely. I mean, he went and had meat and had dinner with a lot of the publicans and the sinners and, you know, people that people would have thought were the scum of that day. I'm talking about from a religious standpoint. They would have seen them as the bottom of the barrel. You know, why is Jesus hanging out with them? But I'm going to tell you one thing that I've never read in the scripture. So this is just a heads up. I want to help somebody in their mind tonight that thinks they're the tough guy or the tough gal, and that they are assigned to be in specific company with certain kinds of people, and that it's their job to be everybody's savior. I want to remind you of something, though. These people followed Jesus. They didn't bring their foolishness into his domain. They didn't bring their foolishness into his camp. They had a different mindset about how that worked out. You know, a lot of times people that you're hanging with are bringing their foolishness into your domain, and you're allowing that into your space, not understanding the effect that that's having on your psyche, the effect that that might have on your mind, whether it's in church, whether it's in your house, whether it's in your relationships. You have to be mindful of what you're allowing in your space, because those things will affect how you see things. It'll affect your mind. So tonight we want to just talk a little bit about just about the mind. Gideon chapter 6, Judges chapter 6, not Gideon chapter 6. I'm going to have to pull that one. I did have a woman of God pull that on her church recently. Hilarious story. I told her to ask the people of God to turn to Zerubbabel. I encourage all the leaders on this line to do that. You'll find out just where your house is. If you pull a stunt like that, you'll find out just where everybody is and just how great your teaching is going over. That's important to know where the people are. And if people are looking in your church for the book of Zerubbabel, that's an automatic misunderstanding if you teach it from the Word of God every Sunday. Gideon is found in Judges chapter 6. That's where we're going to find him at tonight. We're going to find him in Judges chapter 6. And I just want to share just a little bit about this man of God, because there are many on the line tonight that have been accosted by great adversaries in previous seasons. You've been up against some serious adversaries. I want you to know that you are not out of the running, though. You're not out of the game. If that were the case, you wouldn't be here. God still has a plan for your life. He's still got a call on your life, and there are still some things that you need to accomplish, or else you would already be gone. But you're here for such a time as this, and you need to position yourself to do the work that God has called you to do. Gideon, in Judges chapter 6, he was confronted. We have the Midianites who were plundering the children of Israel. I mean, they were plundering them to the point of they didn't want them to have anything. I got phone calls coming through, my God. They didn't want them to have anything. The Bible says in verse 6 in Judges chapter 6 that Midian was greatly, Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the Israelites cried unto the Lord because of this great pain that they were going through. They were going through some serious issues with the Midianites. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to let these people know that I'm on the line, but I don't, on broadcast. My God, where did they do this at? People, you see, this is all what's going on in the mind. When people got on their mind, what they want in that moment, they just forget everything that pertains to reality, the fact that we're on the broadcast every Monday night at this time. So so the Lord sends a prophet to say some things to the people of God and to remind them of the fact that he brought them out of bondage. Now, understand that these people are the people that continue to go into bondage because of their positioning in their mind. They continue to go into bondage because they refuse to do right in the sight of the Lord. They refuse to do right. And a lot of times we're in positions and we have an issue because we are not positioning ourselves to follow the command of God. We're not positioning ourselves to follow what God has told us to do. Whatever is going on in our mind that has separated us from following what he said and doing what we want to do, there's no dissemination there. So we're thinking that what we're going to do is going to work out for us. And we see repeatedly in the Bible, the children of Israel particularly, they continue to cry out to the Lord, and he continued to deliver them because of his love and his compassion for them. But they continue to go back into the same place because their mindsets never change. But let's talk about Gideon for a minute. Gideon, in verse 11, he was threshing wheat by the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. And anybody that knows anything about threshing wheat, that needs to happen in a higher place because the wind is involved in that. And some shaking of some mats is involved in that. You want to shake off the stuff that's not needed and keep the stuff that is needed. And so he's trying to do this work by the wine presses, which are at the ground level down below. And he's hiding this thing because, of course, the Midianites are not allowing the children of Israel to have anything. They're plundering everything they're doing. But the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon in verse 12, and he says to him, the Lord is with you, thou mighty man of valor. He says, the Lord is with you, thou mighty man of valor. Now, in verse 13, Gideon says unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And, of course, if we read the chapter, if we start at verse 1, we know who forsook who. That's not a question. But I want you to understand something. When we go a little bit further down, I want you to remember that he was confronted with several things. He said, it was said to him first that the Lord is with you, and he was called a mighty man of valor. Now, as we go down a little bit further, in verse 14, the angel says to him, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? Now, Gideon's response to him is a very typical response of most human beings when we're confronted with a task that we have to do that's been given by God, because we're looking then at our insufficiencies. We're looking then at whether we're in the clique or whether we're in with the in crowd that says that we can be in this place at this time to do this thing. He says back to him, wherewithal shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. So not only is my family poor, but I'm the least of all of them. I'm the weakest of everybody. So you're calling me to do a thing, and I know I can't do this. You can't be talking to me because I don't feel like I'm qualified to do the thing that you're calling me to do. I don't feel like I have what's necessary. One of the reasons why I wanted to talk about this, because we are talking about the mind, it's important that in this season that you get in agreement with what God is saying about you. But positioning yourself in agreement with the right voice is what's going to position you for your promise. This is what we want to talk about tonight, talking about the mind being affected by the voices that are in our ear, being affected. You know, I was thinking about this passage, and I was thinking about how this same mentality happened with the children of Israel a little bit earlier, where they were sent, spies were sent into the land that God had promised the children of Israel, and there were reports that came back. Well, when these reports came back, of course, there were several spies, and there were only two spies that had a good report. The rest of the spies had a negative report. But what was the report that the majority believed? They chose to believe the negative report. Now, one of the things that they said about themselves, and this is going to the effect of how the mind operates based on environment and based on condition and based on who we're connected to, all of that matters. You got to understand that the children of Israel, they had not left their slave mindset, so they still had their mind on slavery. And then they even had some of the people from Egypt that had gone with them, which would be considered what we call the mixed multitude. So you got all of this stuff mixed in together, plus the fact that these people are not completely sold on not being slaves anymore. They haven't left the slave mentality. They left the slave mindset for a moment enough to get free, but they never got freed in their mind from the slavery that was in their mind. And this is what the enemy uses. He wants to use the fact that you've been to some places and you've experienced some things, and so this is the way that things go, not understanding those were places of bondage for you. But God has brought you out of that darkness and bringing you into the marvelous light. You need to understand that you're in a new place and in a new position, so you can't see things from the place of darkness that you were in. You now have to see things from the position of light that you're standing in. So when we look at this thing, I was really baffled when I thought about the children of Israel being a repeat or Gideon's situation being a repeat of where the children of Israel were in their mind. They were talking about grasshoppers. If you remember the story, they said, we are as grasshoppers in our eyes and in the eyes of these giants that are over in the land. Now, understand, they went in as spies. Nobody even saw them. Do you know that there is a way, based on your surroundings, based on what you allow yourself to hear, based on who's in your ear, that you will even begin to construct things in your own mind that haven't even happened. They were spies in the land. The giants never saw them. So how would you be grasshoppers in their eyes? Okay, in your eyes, I can understand you feeling like grasshoppers. But how do you pass that off to the giants that were in the land that never saw you? You know, that speaks to the mind and how the mind has the capacity to make up things as it goes along. But the thing that was baffling to me about that whole grasshopper mentality was the fact I was studying about grasshoppers and locusts, and they are from the same genus. They're from the same family. As a matter of fact, the locusts are from the genus of grasshoppers, and a locust only has one genus. They're only of one kind. They come from grasshoppers. Grasshoppers have multiple genus. But the thing about it is, it's only one thing that separates a locust from a grasshopper. They look just alike, the same thing in capacity as how they handle themselves, except for a thing about their social behaviors. And that's the thing that separates them. The locusts like to be in clans more so than liking to be by themselves, where grasshoppers have the propensity, and they don't mind being by themselves. Now, I looked up some things recently and noticed that there were some swarms of grasshoppers. But I promise you, if you get a swarm of grasshoppers on a crop or on a field, you're going to have a problem. and why they would see themselves as grasshoppers from the sight of I'm just small in the eyes of or up against this big thing versus we may be small, and even if we see ourselves as grasshoppers, all of us together can overtake a thing and bring damage to whatever's going on in this situation. So it speaks a lot to the mindset, and you got to be cautious about your mindset. But as he was talking to Gideon, Gideon's mindset was in this way. It was in this way that he thought, I don't know that you could be talking to me because I don't feel like I have what you're saying. I don't feel like I am who you're saying I am. But at the point Gideon got into agreement with who God says he was, he went from chump to champ. He really did. He was a whole nother cat in the chapters that followed this chapter 6. He was a whole nother guy because he finally accepted what God had said about him. And in this season, you're going to need to fix your mind on what it is that God is saying about you. It's something about when your daddy tells you something about yourself. You know, a lot of people don't understand the impartation that happens or the inheritance or the birthright, the exchange that happens between a father, even if it's a spiritual parent, and a child. It's something that happens in that dynamic that cannot be erased. Once you have somebody in your life that you look up to, that tells you something, that imparts something to you, that positions you in your mind for victory, it's something about that impact that just never changes for you. That dynamic never changes. Even if you get into a tough situation or a tight situation, it positions you in your mind to understand that I can win. Whatever I need to do, whatever I need to go through, at the end of this thing, I still am victorious. I'm still an overcomer, and I've still been positioned for the victory. And that's what God wants you to understand in this situation. And in wherever you are tonight, wherever you are in your situation and in your circumstances, you've been positioned for victory. But it all begins with you first identifying what has God said about you. And again, who's being allowed to talk to you is going to matter at the end of the day. I love when what Paul said in Hebrews chapter 6. I believe it was around verse 2. He was talking to the people there, and he said, listen, there are some things that are just elementary. You know, there's some things that are elementary, but we need to get past these things that are elementary and get into more mature things. We need to graduate from a place of elementary processes and elementary things that we're thinking about to a place of more mature doctrine. But we can't leave that place because in your mind, you've not left your state of childhood. And that's the state of the church across the country. There are people that have not left the mindset. They've not left the things that are still childish behaviors. They're still elementary behaviors. When we're talking about childhood versus adulthood, we're looking at inheritance versus promise. As long as a person is a child, they may be promised an inheritance, but they haven't walked into that inheritance because they're not mature enough to handle it. When children are children, they think a certain way. They behave a certain way. So when we're thinking about children, there's a behavior that goes along with a child, just like there's a behavior that goes along with a mature between the two. You know, God made Abraham some promises in Genesis chapter 12, but those promises, he had to still go through a process. The first thing was come out from your daddy's house. You know, go ahead and just follow my instructions here. I've got some promises on the table. First of all, I'm going to show you this land. I want you to go to it, and I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm giving you all these promises, but I'm taking you through the process as I'm making these promises to you, and you're going to grow. It was similar to the stages of how a person grows from childhood to maturity to receive an inheritance. Abram was not Abram when he received the promise. He was Abraham. He had grown from Abram to Abraham because of the maturity, because of where he had grown to in God. In his mind, he was able to conceive, okay, God, you said this thing to me. And he went through processes. He said, listen, at one point he said, listen, you made me some promises. I don't understand what these promises are all about. So now I'm asking you some questions because I'm going to need some help with this because I don't have a son. The only person that can receive anything that I have is the servant that's in my house, Eliezer. Now, he got past that, and him and Sarah went into doing the ridiculous. Sarah had a harebrained scheme to have Abram sleep with her concubine, which created a whole nother situation. And those are all things. When we talk about these things, we're still dealing with the mindset of a thing. In this season, you're going to need to definitely hear from God, get direction from God. But as you are walking in the direction that God has called you to, don't get so caught up in your own mind about what God has said to you. Just inquire of him. Okay, what's next? What's my next move? What do I do? He was right in asking, you made promises to me, and I don't understand how these are going to be fulfilled. And God says to him specifically, you're going to have a son of your own loins. Now, that's not completely clear to Abraham in another season, which is why he can succumb to sleeping with Hagar, because he didn't come back to God and say, okay, of my own loins, but by whom? You know what I'm saying? He allowed his mind to be set up in a way that allowed him to say, okay, well, I can help fulfill this thing. I can help do, if I do this, then that's going to help push me towards this promise that was made to me. And so that's the difference between the mature process, the maturity, and the childhood mindset. And we need to get past those childhood mindsets and come into a place where we're into more mature things. This was a real place for David. And I don't know about you, but I talk to myself. I also answer myself. You know, back in the day, people used to say that people that talk to themselves are crazy. I say that's a lie. People that don't answer themselves are the ones with the problem. Because if you're having a conversation with yourself, you're going to need to answer yourself. I'm just keeping it real. If you talk to yourself, you're going to need to give an answer, because you don't just talk to yourself and not respond to yourself. But anything that you're going to respond and to yourself, to the conversations that you're having within yourself, which you have conversations with yourself every day, so that's not nothing to trip on. But where you're going to respond from is based on your environment, based on conversations that you're having outside of you. That's how you're going to respond. Who are you connected to? Who have you lended your ear to? That's going to be what's going to put you in a position, how you're going to respond to yourself. David, in I believe 1 Samuel chapter 30, him and his people, him and his army, they had left the place to go to war. As they were coming back from Ziklag, they realized that they had been compromised. Their city had been burned. Their wives and their children had been taken. In that moment, there was a bunch of things going on. The men in the army and David were weeping to the point where they couldn't weep no more. But in the midst of that weeping, something triggered something in the minds of his men. In the minds of his men, they were like, we about to stone this cat. We about to get rid of David. It's his fault because we were at war or whatever, and our women got stolen, our children have been stolen, you know, our camp has been compromised, we're going to kill him. But it was something that David did in that moment, and it was completely based on his fellowship with God that he did this thing. The Bible declares that David encouraged himself, but it says in the Lord. He encouraged himself, but it was how he was encouraging himself that mattered. And you can be in a place where you need to have a conversation with yourself, but how you have this conversation is what's going to be the difference between your success or your failure. How you deal with this thing in your mind is going to be the outcome of whatever it is you're dealing with, whether it's in ministry, whether it's in personal relationships, whatever it is, how you deal with this thing in your mind. I had a situation today that I really felt like just turning over tables, for real. I felt like just, you know, braiding the scourge of cords personally, it was definitely premeditated, and just going to a place and just dealing with a person a certain way, because I was just really feeling some kind of way. But I had to deal with some things in my mind. It was funny because you got to have people in your environment that are going to keep you grounded, that are going to keep you in a place where they have your ear and they can say some things to you. They don't even have to really have a whole conversation with you. They can just let you know, pipe down, chill out, it's going to be okay. You got to have people in your corner that know enough about you and know enough about God to say, pipe down, chill out, it's going to be okay. Because in that moment, I really wanted to position myself differently. I really wanted to do something different. But because I got people in my environment that love me and people that trust the anointing on my life and people that know me, they were able to say to me in no uncertain terms, relax, it's all good, it's going to be all right. And you got to have those kind of people in your environment. Those are the people that you need to lend your ear to. You know, unlike Adam in the garden and Eve, you know, who was and I say this all the time, Adam was having conversations with himself about that tree before Eve even showed up, which is why he was so vulnerable to it, because it was something that he wanted anyway. It was something that he wanted anyway. So he spoke to himself about that tree. You know what I'm saying? But when she came along, she just facilitated what his vision was. That's what a woman does. They facilitate what your vision is. They're there to help you facilitate your vision. They're there to help breathe life into your vision and make that thing come to pass, which she did. Spoke to himself, and you can talk to you, but where is what you're saying coming from? You know, that's what you got to identify. Where's what you're saying coming from? You know, you don't want to be in a position where you're doing what's right in your own eyes. Don't do that. You don't want to do that. You want to do what's right. You want to prove what the acceptable, good, and perfect will of God is in your life, because that's what's going to get you to your destiny. It's proving that will. That's your reasonable service. You know, after all God has done for you, it's your reasonable service to position yourself in that way. But in this season, it's really important to me to make sure that the people of God understand what God has called them in this season. We were talking about this on the line, I believe, yesterday with the ministers, and I want to share that with you because I believe it's going to be pertinent. One of the reasons why the adversary can so easily compromise your position is because sometimes you just flat out don't know who you are, and sometimes you haven't realized who you are. But I believe if you allow God to speak to you and to even share with you, because those things change in different seasons of your life. You may need to be a mighty man of valor in this season, but you might need to be a person of meek and gentle spirit in another season. So God may speak to you and call you a thing in this season that he's not calling you, just like I told you about Abram and Abraham. He's speaking to Abram in one season, but in another season, he's talking to Abraham. Same thing with Sarah. Sarai is who he was calling her originally, but she became Sarah in another season. And you have to understand, what is God calling you in this season that you're in, so that you have that to stand on when the enemy comes to challenge you. You can say, no, God has called me a man of valor. God has called me a man of great substance. If I know that I'm a woman or a man of great substance, then even though I'm being challenged in the things that I consider substance in my life, I understand that faith is the substance of things hoped for. So I might need to identify where my faith is so that I can create the proper substance to bring forth a manifestation that's necessary. I hope that makes sense to you. Whatever you are being called in a season, it doesn't matter what the challenges are. If you know what you're being called, then you can stand on who you are to God, who God has made you, who he said that you are, who he's declared that you are, and you can move towards the victory that's been promised to you. So I'm encouraging you tonight to identify, just like I again did, he agreed with God's words. He agreed with what God was saying about him in that season. You need to take some time and find out who God is saying you are. No, I can't do it like I want to do it on the line because I can't really access everybody that I want to access and hear from everybody. So what I'm going to encourage you to do is that even while we're talking, even while we're on the line, just begin to hear as God begins to tell you who you are in this season. You know, even when you get off the line, write it down. Write it down and make notes of who you are. Begin to study scripture based on who you are so that you'll know in that time when the enemy comes, that you'll have a standard to lift up against him. There'll be a standard there. This is who I am, and this is who God said I am. You know, Jesus he could not be compromised in that wilderness experience because of who he knew he was. You know, when the clouds had opened, when the heavens had opened to him, and God began to declare who he was, there was no question about who he was to God. So when he got in a situation where the enemy was trying to compromise him or trying to push him into making a decision based on his emotions, he wasn't compromising who he was in that moment. He could declare, this is what's written. I'm not going to move off of who I am. You're not going to try to challenge me about who I am. I know who I am, and I don't need to prove that to you. But this is what I am going to say to you. This is what's written concerning what you're saying to me. This is the facts. This is the truth about where we're going to be and where we are. And you got to be able to put the enemy in his place in this season because he's coming. He's coming, and he's going to come more subtle than he's ever come. He's going to use some of the same things that he's always used, but he's changing the face of the thing that he's coming as. He's changing the face. He may even change some of the dynamics, and some of the wording might be a little different. So his subtlety is not going to be readily recognized for what it is. You may even go along with some things for a moment because you're thinking that you have an upper hand or whatever, but you got to be careful because he's crafty. And this is why the body is important. That's why these times, even online, sharing the word of God and hearing the word of God and being in environments where the word of God is and people that believe what you believe. That's why it's so vitally important that you be connected with a body of believers, because you got to have people that are going to keep you accountable to the things of God. It's one of the things that we do here in Faith Ambassadors, even with our ministers. We have accountability, even with the people that join us. We keep people accountable. We want to know, have you read the word of God today? Did you pray today? You know, have you been in any confusion today? We want to know where you are, so that whatever we need to help you with, because this body being fitly joined together, if we need to supply something to you, if we need to get something to you, if we need to rush something to your aid or to your assistance, we need to be able to know what it is that we need to rush to your aid or assistance. Chief Apostle, are you on the line?
I can get off mute. I am.
I want to allow you to come on in and just say what you want to say. I'm sure you got some things to say about what we're talking about tonight.
I would only comment on this thing that came into my spirit. There's so many times we miss our healing, we miss our deliverance, and the things that are in our minds will keep us from operating in the place where God wants us to be. Sometimes we gather things in our heart, or we gather things in our minds, and we don't realize that that thing has been implanted there as an effort to keep you away from your deliverance and away from your healing and away from God's perspective about who you are. A lot of times we don't go higher in ministry. We don't go into that place of a deeper depth, of launching out into the depth, because we are so stagnant in a certain way of thinking. You've got to understand, except the Lord build the house, they that labor build it in vain. Those things that belong to God are God's. When you are dealing with healing, when you're dealing with oppression, when you're dealing with depression, when you're dealing with digression, these things are there as a place where you can use them to become stronger, or you can use them to stay in a position where you begin to fall in love with the state of your mind at that time. And that place will cause you to be derelict in the kingdom of God. And you don't want to be that way. You don't want to operate in a state of doom. You don't want to operate in a state where your mind will tell you, you know, well, you've got this cancer and it's not going to change, or you've got this situation, it's not going to change, or you don't have a woman right now, or you don't have a man right now, or your relationship is not going to, or your marriage is not going the way, you know, it is supposed to go because of you, you know, and the enemy, or you lost, or that person cheated on you because of you. No, that person cheated on you because they were a cheater, or that person didn't do what they were supposed to do because of who they were. And you are not, you're either going to be married to a mindset that keeps you sick, or you're going to get into the mindset of doing what God said about you, where you trust God about who you are and you move from that place. I just told someone today in counsel that you have got to change the movie of your mind. A lot of times we're stuck in bad relationships, and we're stuck in things that keep us bound because we're isolated to a thing based upon how we keep replaying a movie. And you've got to watch the spirit of reproach. The spirit of reproach is where the enemy allows the thing that was in your mind to keep repeating itself. Some of us can't get delivered from sin because we are so stuck in a state of mind. We're so stuck in something that we're doing or we did that we can't get over it. I declare and decree a blessing over you tonight, that the stagnancy of your mind, the cycle, the cyclistic failure of your own opinion about yourself will change tonight, and that you would believe that God said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of good and not of evil. That you would remember that the Bible teaches you that God He drew you by the goodness of the Lord, and that God is good, and He is your Father, and He is your Lord, and He is your King, and He is your God. And then if you are a child of the King, you should not be living in a place where you are dormant, where you are docile, where you are weak, because you don't allow that to play over and over and over in your mind. If you've got a person in your life that's treating you like a doormat, it's your mind that's keeping you in that place where you will not retaliate in a spiritual way, in an effective way, to get out of that situation. You got to have the mind of retaliation against the enemy. You touch my child, how dare you touch what belongs to God? How dare you touch my car? How dare you touch my home? How dare you? Because I know that I have the mind of Christ, which gives me the mind of a warrior, which gives me the mind of strength, which gives me the mind of an overcomer, which gives me a mind of saying that I'm more than a conqueror. As long as you're thinking in the state of, okay, well, I've seen these things, and if you were like me, you look at the status of the churches, and you get depressed, and you get all of these things. But I had to break that thing, and I had to have someone in my life, you know, Celeste had to deal with that stuff, and she had to go into my life and say, look, man, you need to man up, and you need to figure out what the Word of God says about this. And she began to go into the Word of God in the book of Ephesians and deal with the things that are in your mind that you are planning there for your future. And you're causing your future to live in your past. And God dealt with me, and it broke something in me, because the woman of God began to minister and began to deal with those things, that my future was going to be bound up by my past, by my present. So I want to encourage every person under the sound of my voice not to allow your mind to get to a place where you are walking in a place of dereliction from duty to the kingdom of God. You are a kingdom servant. You are a kingdom believer. You are the blood and the beauty of holiness should be sacred to you. And that means that you've got to protect your mind, because the Holy Spirit can't speak to a scattered mind. He can't speak to a mind as constantly everywhere. You're just running 1,000 miles an hour in your mind, given a particular situation. The devil is a liar. I plead right now the blood of victory over your life that says that you will not remain in the grave of stagnancy, but you will rise up tonight and become what God wants you to become. I declare and decree it, that if your mind has told you can't be healed, it's a lie. God says that you can be healed tonight. If your mind has told you that you can't have a husband or a wife, I declare and decree that you are freed up to be what God told you to do. You got to learn how to be a wife, to be a husband in your mind before you ever meet your husband or you ever meet your wife, so that you can begin to have the spiritual preparation to deal with the things pertaining to what's going on around you. So I would encourage every person under the sound of my voice. I know that your movie has made you a victim, but no, the star of the story never dies. You got to learn how to rewrite your story, and you're going to have to learn how to be the one that don't fall just because Jason is trying to
do it.
Don't get caught up in the woods. You know how the ones fall as soon as you
start
running.
That's the Beige family. They always run.
Right. And you know, we don't fall because the enemy is chasing us. And I would encourage every person under the sound of my voice, don't fall to your sickness. Don't fall to being lame. Don't fall to a weak ministry. Don't fall to my fish are getting bigger and bigger, and I had them since they were small. And as I fed them, that was one thing. But when I put them in a larger aquarium, they became larger, and they had more room to do the things they had to do. When I had my dog in a small yard, he was able to, do a little bit, but now he can run the yard and he can play in the yard and he can go out and just move around in the yard and get himself in trouble and get his head knocked up a little bit because he's just doing what a wilderness animal can do. He's moving in the environment and the size of his environment. Believers, I encourage you to move into your environment and the size of your environment. The world belongs to what God told you belongs to you. The world belongs to you. You don't have to allow yourself to be isolated, locked out of what God has said about you. You can believe tonight and watch what God does. I've seen God heal me of cancer, and I've seen the enemy tell me, you'll never talk again. I've seen the enemy say, you'll never sing again. Y'all want me to sing tonight? No, I won't sing tonight.
Bless the Lord. But
I can do it because I trusted God's word over trusting how I felt. And I did not allow my mind to receive what the enemy was trying to say about me. Sick, yes. Hurt, yes. Headaches, yes. Pain, yes. But I don't allow that to stop me or hinder me from believing what God has said. God bless you, Pastor.
Amen. Amen. I've been pastor for about a week. I don't know what that's about. Amen.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's all right. That's all right. I wanted to say this tonight, too, as you were saying that. I was thinking about the fact that when we look at an elephant in the circus, that thing is so amazing to me. That elephant has so much strength. They've got him held down by a stake in the ground, and he definitely has the power to pull that stake up out of the ground. I think about when I had access to horses, and I'm looking at these gates. The height of that gate really is not enough to keep the horse, and really the power of the horse could really knock the gate over based on how the gate is made. If he really wants to get free, he can get free, but he's been put in a mindset that he has to be a captive. He's been put in a mindset that he has to be domesticated, and because of that, that elephant won't pull the stake up out of the ground and move on with his life. Because he's been trained in his mind to believe that when we put this stake in the ground, this is where you have to stay. I've had some really vicious dogs in my lifetime, and one of the last dogs that I had was a what was she? Her name was Benelli Nova. She was a what did I tell you she was, Chief Apostle? Jesus, huh? I don't remember what she was right now. She was a very strong dog. That's what I can tell you. And she was a puppy, but I remember attaching her to the front of my van, great big old Ford van. And she liked to tore the whole front end of that van off. You remember what she was? What I tell you she was?
Rottweiler Chow Mix.
No, that was the last dog. I'm talking about the one that I had in the country. The dog that I was telling you about that got ran over.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, she was a very strong dog. And I can't remember what she was. If I named the name of the dog, you would understand the strength of that dog. But I connected her to the front of the van because I'm thinking if I connect her to the front of the van and get in the car and drive off, she'll be good because she can't pull the van. You know, the van going to hold her there. But instead of her pulling the van, she was pulling the whole front of the van off because she was determined in her to where she was like, I'm going when you go. I'm not going to stay here. And if I have to pull the whole front of this van off to do it, then I'll do it. I had to put her in a different position, like around a tree in order to leave, because had I kept putting her on the front of the van, she would have tore the whole grill of the van off. Because in her mind, she wasn't going to adhere to that. So like that elephant who's been stuck in the ground by a stake, but has the strength to move on, and the horse that's behind the gate that could most likely jump the gate if he really wanted to get away or even push it over. That's where a lot of us have been in our mind, you know, concerning different situations in life. But tonight we pray that God will give you victory in your mind. You have to allow him, because victory is really already yours. You just have to make up your mind that you're tired of where you are, that you refuse to remain where you are. And once you've decided that you're tired of where you are and you refuse to remain there, then you just yield to the work that's already been done. You're already an overcomer. You've already been made victorious. All you have to do now is accept that victory. That's it. I mean, at the end of the day, it's really that simple. I know it sounds like such a simple thing. It sounds so elementary, but it really is that simple. There were things that were done on your behalf. That cross was not just for the sake of you not going to hell. It was so that you could live a more abundant life, that you could live a life that was free, that you could be free in your mind to serve God the way he desires you to serve him, free to worship him. And it's really hard to worship when you got a whole bunch of stuff on your mind that's holding you captive. You know, when you're still dealing with your appetites and a whole bunch of other stuff, it's really hard to be in relationship when you're still in a million relationships that you've already been in or caught up in the pieces of relationships that you've already been in. It's hard to allow yourself to be free to and even enjoy. Chief Apostle, you said this, and I'm going to let y'all go. You said this thing, and it reminded me of Abraham and Sarah when you were talking about that thing, and I've been saying that you can allow your past to accost your future. You know what happened with Isaac and Ishmael. This thing that Abraham and Sarah did in another time, it started accosting the future. You know, when the promise showed up, now the promise is now dealing with all this nonsense that this counterfeit had to do. You know, this counterfeit was accosting this promise, to the point where Abraham had to say, listen, I'm gonna have to put this water jug on your shoulders, put this kid in your arms, and send you on your way, because I cannot allow the thing that God promised me to be destroyed because of where I came from. You know, and a lot of times we're so messed up in our minds, we're still connected to so much of our yesterday that we can't even allow ourselves to enjoy the future. And I told somebody this that I love very much. You know, you got to get in a place, because see what the enemy desires to do, he's not really trying to kill you just outright right now, like take your whole life. What he wants to do is take the life out of your life. So okay, you get into this place now. Okay, you wasn't married, now you married. But the devil don't want you to enjoy your marriage. He don't want there to be any unity in your marriage. He wants you to stay at odds. Even if y'all seem like y'all in unity, he wants there to be always that thing in the back of everybody's mind that says, I'm not comfortable. I don't feel like I'm trusted. I don't feel like I know what I'm supposed to know in this relationship. I mean, it's just always something. The enemy recognizes that something happens in unity that doesn't happen in disunity. There's an anointing that's released in unity that doesn't happen anywhere else. And as long as he can keep you divided, as long as he can keep you messed up in your mind, you'll never go to the place that you need to be. You'll never reach your full potential and the promise that God has given you. So tonight, we desire that you be free in your mind. If that's what you want tonight, I need you to, wherever you are right now, just lift your hands and receive the freedom of God in your mind and in your heart tonight, in the core of your being. Just make up in your mind tonight, I am done with my past. That is not who I am. I'm going into my future. The now me has to die, because the now me can't go into the future with the new me. It can't. It just can't go. You have to leave the now you right here in order to walk into where God is taking you. And tonight is your night. Go ahead and lift your hands right where you are and walk into your future, the new man, the new woman that God has called you to be, and receive the promises of God. We love you tonight so much. We appreciate you. We'll look for you tomorrow night, War of Worship, and for you on Thursday night, School of the Prophet, and also on Wednesday night. The resurgence will be on the line. We're encouraging you to bring your young people from all over the world. Share with your young people at your church. Get them on the line, people of God. Great things are happening. We want to make sure that the young people are trained to go forth and to do the work of the ministry that God has called them to in this season. God is calling for the youth. They are the army that God is raising up in this hour to do signs and wonders and to do mighty things. We love you tonight, and we thank God for you.
to hand.
Into peace.
Streamlined and flashed. From above.